Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that sound. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wait.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
One, two, what's the deal? This is King Ed, the media staff, and we are now tuned in to episode 612 of Off the Cuff Radio. And this show is sponsored by Cocaine. Big shout out to the big homie Cocaine with Buddy Boy Entertainment, Screwball Radio, Da Vinci Clothing. And tonight's guest, man, we're doing an exclusive interview with possibly one of the hardest battle rappers in the game, man. This guy has been a part of the cloth for over 20 decades, 20 summers. Still doing it in a high-efficiency way. He has a lot of projects in the line of work. And check this out. He's here right now on Off the Cuff Radio to let you know his story, his come up, his grind, where we're going forward. Let's all welcome Licky Facts to 612.
Yo. What's up?
What's the deal, man? Happy to have you on, man. Welcome to episode 612, brother.
Thank you, man. It's an honor to be here.
Yes, sir. And for those who's just wondering, man, just tuning in, the call number is 516-531-9596. If you have any questions you want to shoot me or you want to shoot Nikki, just let me know, man. We live and direct over here. But anyways, man, to start things off, man, and for people that are already following you and knowing who you are, tell us what you got going on for the spring and the summertime going to then.
Yeah, man, you know, got some projects that's getting ready to drop, getting ready to start announcing some of these projects that I'm about to start releasing. And obviously, you know, I got the school going, so the school is taking a lot of precedent. You know, I own a school for hip-hop and lyricism. We teach MCs how to rhyme. So, you know, you got a lot of things going, but that's really the main thing, the school and God willing, you know, trying to get this music out to the people that's really yearning for that, you know?
Yes, sir. Man, yeah, man, tell us more about the school, man. Like, when you start getting that established, man, what made you get the idea to want to start a school?
Yeah, man, you know, I got that established around 2022, pardon me. And, you know, I was saying to myself, man, what's a good way to retire from hip-hop? You know what I'm saying? Like, I should be able to teach MCs how to rhyme, you know? And I started to put it together, and, you know, so many people fell in love with the idea and the concept. And we've had so many people come to school so far. Last night, we had Cassidy. So, you know, I think it's a great thing to be able to create something like this for the kids, the people, anybody who's interested, you know, in being better as a rapper, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you know what it is, dude? That's something that's needed, man, because that's basically another form of artist development that's really needed in today's game, because we don't really have that no more.
Yeah, we don't. Like, it's really, like, it's non-existent. You know, and, you know, it's sad that it's non-existent because, you know, we all heard about, you know, A&R and back in the days, and how so many people, you know, was able to get, you know, not only record deals, but learn the craft of music from different people. And I'm just happy to keep that spirit alive, you know. So it's a blessing. That's basically all I can say.
And I saw some of your stories earlier. Now, was Cassidy a part of this yesterday? I could be wrong.
Yeah, he was. You know, he was teaching last night.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
you know, he did a great thing. You know, he bodied that class. You know what I'm saying? I was happy to have him there. And, you know, I'm grateful for him because, you know, he's a busy man. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're talking about he's still a platinum, you know, selling artist. You know what I'm saying? So, like, the fact that, you know, he took time to rock with my students was a great thing, and he stayed until, like, 10 o'clock at night. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So that's a beautiful thing, and I got so much love for bro. You know what I'm saying?
That's what it is, man. How many guests have you had on doing your class session so far?
I mean, I've probably had about 20 to 25 guests. I mean, you know, we've had everybody, man. Like, we done had Inspector Deck, you know, Razzcast, Method Man, Twista. You know, we done had so many artists. And Ab Soul. You know, we done did a lot, man. I'm just glad people love what it is that we do. You know what I'm saying? It's a blessing. That's really all I can say. I mean, and, you know, they answer everybody's questions. I think that's the most important thing, that people get their questions answered pulling up to the school. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you get a chance to talk to superstars that you probably would never talk to. You know what I'm saying? Like, because the access is not available to the normal person. You know what I'm saying? And I'm really grateful. You know, and these are my friends, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just glad that I'm able to, you know, offer these things to different people. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. It's like you showing a different way of giving back, a different contribution. And it's a contribution that's also needed, especially with a lot of the guys coming up, because they're also getting the education about how this business works.
Right. And, you know, we're teaching them everything. You know, we're teaching them the business of music. It's a lot. And to be able to do this, you know, on this level is not easy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But we're doing it. We're doing it every day.
And now going to your backstory, and this is for people that just now, you know, following up on who you are. Tell us a bit about where you're originally from and what it was like growing up in your era.
Oh yeah, man, I'm from the Bronx. You know what I'm saying? So, like, off top, everything is, you know, hip hop for sure. Like, it's the birthplace of hip hop. So you already know. You know, I was in the schools. You know, I was in school rapping. You know, tables. Hold up a second. Pardon me. Going to Cypher, going to battles at Times Square, you know, all of these things was happening, you know, for artists such as myself when we were coming up. You know, we was the kids of DMX and the Lox, you know what I'm saying? So we just wanted to impress them, you know what I'm saying? And it was a blessing, you know, to be able to you know, witness all of these different MCs. You know, so I'm just grateful, man. I feel like I don't have a lot to say because it's so much to say, you know, man. And I've seen and experienced so much and being, you know, into hip hop, everything I was able to kind of get accomplished only because, you know, a lot of it is because, you know, I was from the birthplace, you know what I mean?
Now, you know, you were talking about the DMX and Locks era. Now, were you a part of that? Now, I don't know if this was you or not, but, you know, you remember when Double XL did that wide sweat of the on the birthday of hip hop? Now, were you a part of that? So I think I saw you on the cover.
Yeah, I was on the cover of Double XL.
You know which one I'm talking about, the one where they did, like, the... I think they shot it at Harlem. They had about all these rappers in the front. It was either the BX or Harlem, one of the two.
No, I wasn't at that one. That was before my time.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. But yeah, man, but who was your, like, inspiration style-wise, and what was, like, the point where you want to be like, I want... Go ahead.
Big Daddy Kane. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was, it was everything to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're talking about somebody with lyrics and somebody who could, like, dress. He got all the girls and he could dance. Like, so it was really good for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Kane was the complete package, believe it or not, because he had, like, a little bit of something for everybody. That's hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Kane, man. Like he had a girl record, he had everything.
And the cold part about Kane was he was also battle tested. Like he was like, yo, don't let the pretty shit fool you. I get in your ass, Paul.
Right. He definitely was that guy, you know. And again, it was a blessing to know him now and be able to text him and call him now. You know, he's one of the greatest MCs to ever live, and I'm very grateful to know him, you know?
Now, one of the biggest challenges when you're starting music is finding your voice and establishing your style. Like, if anybody's looking you up, what would you consider your style to be?
I feel like my style was really just kind of, like, I feel like my style is, like, it's just a fly cat, you know, it's not street, really knowledgeable, you know, I'm talking about stuff, you know, I'm trying to get people to hear the quality and the importance of the things that I'm rapping about, so that for me is what it would be, you know what I'm saying, like, I talk about different things in hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? I also, you know, I make sure that people kind of, you know, I'm a hopeless romantic. So, like, I have songs about the women. I like partying, you know what I'm saying? I like teaching people different things. So, like, you'll hear all kinds of different things when it comes to Mickey Facts like it. So my style is just, it's really just for the people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Basically being more relatable.
Absolutely.
And the story,
definitely.
Man, what's the story behind your name? Like, Mickey Facts, but how did you come up with that?
Oh, that came Natural Born Killers, man. That was a movie with Mickey and Mallory. Remember Mickey and Mallory?
Yeah.
You know, so I got the name Mickey from that movie. And then I also kind of just, you know what I'm saying, I only want to talk about facts. So that's how I put it all together, Mickey and Facts, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. And Now you're navigating, not only you becoming a complete artist, but one of the main challenges, and this is how a lot of people had to get on with battling. Like, how did you prepare yourself to be in battle mode? Like, how, what is your strategy when you're, before you go into a battle?
You know, it's a lot of writing. You know what I'm saying? You do a lot of writing and a lot of practicing, you know what I'm saying? And I was able to kind of practice because, you know, again, I'm being from New York. It's one of those things where that's all we did was battle, you know what I'm saying? And like, that's how I met Matt Hoffa, that's how I met T-Rex. And I met them battles, you know what I'm saying? And this was like in the East, you know what I'm saying? So like, no. So yeah, I mean it's one of those scenarios where, you know, you gotta respect the elders, you gotta respect the craft, you know what I mean? And that's what I made sure to do every single time. It's a lot of writing, it's a lot of memorizing, and I made sure to do all of that.
Yeah, because I've seen the battle that you did. I don't know if this was recent, but the one you did with A-Verb, that was dope, man. Like, y'all two really brought that fire.
Yeah, that was the last one I did. You know, shout out to ARP. You know, that's bro. And we got it done. You know what I'm saying? It was a good match. You know, Verb, that's bro. You know, we wanted to just kind of do something for the culture there. People would love, and I'm just glad people loved it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it looked like he got Ill Will next. You know what I'm saying? Which is dope.
Yeah, people don't understand, man. Like, it also creates that, you know, swords sharpen swords at the end of the day, and it also makes you laser focus on making better music because you know you have an op. Music, that is. You have a musical op, and you're like, look, we can't come with no trash. We got to come with it from head to toe, from song 1 to song 13 or whatever you're putting out, so that would keep the blade sharp.
Yeah. Absolutely right. And people don't really realize that, you know what I'm saying? But it takes a lot to put something like that together, and people just think it's people, you know, yelling at each other, but it's way deeper than that.
Ah, bro. Nah, it's way different, man. It's a lot of science with that shit, man. It's a lot of quick-wit thinking because you got to be able to flip the ball at somebody. The ball got to be able to make sense. It can't go over somebody's head. It's a whole lot of science behind it. It's kind of like ranking on the block. Like, you got to be quick-witted.
Yeah, that's literally what it's like. And, you know, some people are good at it and others aren't, you know, so.
And, you know, continue with the battling topic, what are some of your favorite battles, personal?
You know, Lux and Calico, B-Magic and Clean Paper, B-Magic, you know, Jones and Lux and Hollow, Mugen. So many different battles that were great. Daylight and Tay Rock, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I like how it's becoming more of a focus point again, because at first people were kind of shying away with it, because it used to be your test of your skill set, being able to hang with the elite. Like, you had to get your ass in that cypher.
Yeah, that was the way to test your mic, you know what I'm saying? If you couldn't do that, then it was pointless, you know what I'm saying?
And two, now, you coming up and you linking up with guys like Joe Budden and Royce the 5'9", and what did you learn being around those guys for the moment that y'all was cool?
I mean, I thought it was, you know, it was a good situation. You know, we're talking about, you know, legends in the game, you know what I'm saying, from the underground perspective. And, you know, those guys are detrimental to the growth you know, of hip hop, you know what I'm saying? So like it was just dope to kinda, you know, work with them when we did work, whether it was touring or whether it was doing songs with each other, you know. It was a good situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially with those guys like that being involved with the business, and you know, they have been very vocal about the hardships they went through, so it's like you're also observing what not to go through. They ain't seeing what they went through.
Right. So yeah, I mean, you know, everybody in the game goes through something. You know, we call it paying dues. You gotta pay your dues, man. When you get to the game, you gotta perform for free. You know, you gotta, you know, do records for free. You gotta make all kind of things happen. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just happy that I got a chance to do all of these things, you know, in the game. You know what I'm saying? And do it at a high level. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you, man, and this is me. I was putting some people on out here in the Carolinas and some of the stuff you were saying, because you was one of the few that was really, you know what I mean, deciphering, and, you know, breaking Royce and Royce down on the battle record that you did with him and the one you did with Joe Budden several years ago. I'm like, this dude's a problem. This dude's a problem right here, man. Don't sleep on the BX, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I had to do what I had to do, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't want to, but, you know, because, you know what I'm saying? So I had to do it.
Yeah, the reason why I had to tell you, because this is because, you know, this guy, he submitted me a question. He fucked up, man. He said, are you working with the people? Because how did you get away with that 187 on my guy, Royce the 5'9", like that? Nigga.
Nah, shout out to homie who asked the question. Nah, it wasn't no murder. It was just, you know, just, you know, things happen, you know what I'm saying? You know, shout out to homie, you know what I'm saying? I had to do what I had to do, though, you know? And I think the people liked it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you was scared of what it was. You came out of left field, because at first it looked like it was just Lupe and Royce ready going at it. You came in like Tom Brady out that moment. You know, just took the shit over.
Nah, you know, he said my name, so, you know, I just had to, you know, handle that real quick. It wasn't that crazy, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know,
and keep in mind, go ahead.
So we handle business, you know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm.
And y'all kept it within the sport. See, that's the dope thing about it, man, because people forget at the end of the day is that it's about the music, man. Like, it's about keeping it with the sport and still being able to be somewhat casual and respected.
Yeah, that's the only way to do it. Well, it's pointless. You got to do it that way. You know, you can't be offended. You know, you just go in the booth and speak your piece. You know? And that's what happens, you know. And that's why so many people love what I did, because I ain't really made no idle threats. I just got in the booth and I rapped, you know what I'm saying? And I put all of the naysayers to bed, you know what I'm saying? Everybody who thought it was a game quickly found out that it wasn't, you know what I'm saying?
And I was like, man, it was a breath of fresh air, man, because I'm like, you didn't run the Instagram about it, you didn't run the tweet about it. You got busy, man, and I was like, thank you, Mickey. That's a breath of fresh air, because niggas love going to the slam.
Yeah, you know, it happens, bro. You know, people, you know, sometimes people are from that close, and other times people aren't. You know, I had to show and prove. You know, I'm just glad that I was able to do that, and people were able to be for that.
For real, now. Now, are you and Royce good now?
I mean, we're not the best of friends, but we're also, you know, it's not like a situation where, you know, we're not beefing. It's just, you know, we haven't spoken, you know, it happened, and, you know, it was a time of hip-hop, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay, now I got another question. He said, who is your favorite R&B group? Because he said, you're the only rapper I've ever heard sound inspired by over a Jodeci sample.
I think my favorite R&B group, shoot, man, that's tough to answer, man. That's really, really tough to answer. My favorite R&B group? I don't know, man. Yeah, I mean, because there's so many R&B groups. There's so many of them, bro.
He should have hit us with the Drink Champs question, man. He should have been like Jodeci or Drew Hill or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not mad at Jodeci. I like Jodeci. I like SWZ. It's between those two. Let's go with those two.
Yeah. I got to make this easier, man. You could hit us with the Drink Champs question. Because, you know, you got so many groups out there, it's hard to just pick one.
Yeah.
Yeah, big shout out to Brick Fair for big shout out to Brick Fair for sending that question, man.
Appreciate him for that, man. That's a good question.
No doubt. No doubt, man. We building over here. Now I wanna ask you this, this is me personally. What was it like working on the Narrative EP with Blue and Nas? And what was the experience working with Blue? Because Blue was very underrated.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Blue is the homie. You know, we was obviously on the cover of Double XL together. So, you know, we went on tour, and I was like, yo, man, we need to do a project together. And he was like, man, I'm down. You know, let's get the budget for it. So I found money for it, and we got it done, man. Like, it was really quick. You know, he works very quickly, so we got it done in like 2 weeks. And it was a great scenario and situation with me. You know, we really got it done, man. I'm grateful for him. Like, that's my bro, man. You know, I learned a lot about him when we were on tour, you know.
Yeah, he's very unappreciated talent, man. One of the overlooked talents of the culture, for real, especially in the West Coast.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting thing. Like, I understand how he's so overlooked in the West. You know what I'm saying?
T-Max, what's good?
What up, man? How y'all?
It's my co-host, T-Max, man. We got Mickey,
what's
we got
going
Mickey
on with
on the line right now.
What it do?
What up, brother? How you feeling?
Good, all good, man. What I missed so far?
Yeah, we were talking about the school. We were talking about the school he got built. He got worked in. He had Cassidy as a guest last night. Talked about the body bag that he caught, body and Royce the 5'9". We sitting there with love and respect. You know what I'm saying? We sitting there with love and respect.
Right.
But, you know, we just chopping shit, man. We just, you know.
Definitely. I mean, Mickey, your reputation and your lineage in hip-hop is long and distinguished, man, in terms of this, you know, the hot shit you put out. I didn't know about the school, man, and King just clued me on to something. I mean, you're following a long line of academic, you know, achievements in terms of setting the tone for the young people, along with Jalen Rose, LeBron, and so many others, man.
Yeah, the school is like a hip-hop school. It's like a hip-hop school where he's teaching, Method Man, Such as That, Cassidy, a whole lot of people over there guessing the school, giving the game and teaching them the craftsmanship. That's a beautiful thing that's needed.
Absolutely. What have you found, Nicky, in terms of the game today, in terms of hip-hop, as to what the youth need to understand about the culture, and it's more than just social media and likes?
I think really the most important thing about what we teach is the business of this thing. Like, the business of music, so many of our, I don't want to say our youth, but so many of our people don't know the business. They just want to, you know, obviously they want to make the money, but a lot of it is, you know, the business. And if you don't know the business, this thing is like, it's pointless. You know what I'm saying? So I do my very best to teach, you know, the students about that. Like, it's very important. You know what I mean? You gotta know that. You know what I mean? If you don't know the business of this thing that we do, then it's literally pointless. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. How would you parallel your career in terms of when you started from how the marketing was, business aspect, and how it has changed to this day?
Well, definitely, when I started, the internet was just getting going, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I took advantage of the internet. I just figured that it would be easier for me to put my music out online, mainly because, you know, I couldn't afford mixtape DJs to host my stuff. So I went online and posted my content on the internet. And my very first show wasn't in New York City where I'm from. My very first show was in Japan. Excuse me, China. I went to China.
Oh, wow.
That was my very first show.
Oh, that
was China because I was promoting online on the internet, you know. And once I saw that, I said, man, I'm not going back to the streets. I went to passports and I'm playing more than, you know, I'm from New York, so everybody first came. Plane ride was going by the window, you know what I'm saying? Like, so once I saw that, I didn't have to, you know, promote, you know, with DJs and spend all this money, and I could just do it for the comfort of my home. But like, that was all I needed to see.
I see it. I think you're breaking up a little bit. I think somebody's breaking up.
Is it me?
Hold on,
yeah,
y'all can hear me now. Hold on 1 second, T. Yeah, call back, T. Yeah, I was hearing, a lot of noise in the background. But yeah, man, going back to your first show with China, man, like, what did it make you realize to be like, man, these Chinese folk love hip hop, man. Like, a lot of people are saying that they find a stronger base overseas in the States.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting, man, to fly all of my friends out. You know, I flew all my friends out to China with me. Like, it was like 6 of us. It was all just interesting. And we had a great time. And the Asians out there, they loved hip hop. They was excited to have us there. They showed us a lot of love, put us in a 5-star hotel. You know, we first feel like one of those scenarios where it was a beautiful situation. I'll never get that, you know what I mean?
That's dope, man. What was it in terms of, I mean, Asia is a hell of a place, you know, Japan and China, that's a hell of a place to get your first show at. And like you said, Mickey, you came along at a time where the internet was really burgeoning in terms of really, you know, as we call, you know, the MySpace era. You know, this is where Drake, Soulja Boy, and so many other artists as well were really beginning to get out there in terms of using it. When did you find that your buzz was really getting out there, where people really were getting to know who you were?
Oh, that was like 2007, man. I was in the Fader magazine, and they had me in there for, you know, just being one of the newest artists out, you know what I'm saying? And it was dope to kind of, you know, see that people really, like, had care and concern for hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, my music is never, like, violent, or I'm not, you know, talking about drugs or anything like that. So it's just the fact that we have, you know, somebody that's really into, you know, what it was that I was trying to talk about. I'm just grateful that I was able to, you know, capitalize on that, because it's not easy to gain a name, you know.
Absolutely. Now, and also in addition to the social media, you know, with MySpace at the time, this is also a time where the magazines like Source XXL were still moving really heavy. To see some people to say it, publications in terms of print have gone the way of the dinosaur. You as an artist who relies so heavily on an organic buzz and the press to really, 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 you know, discover you and such and to really give you that chance, how do you feel about it today in terms of journalism and how hip-hop has been recorded, how it is covered, and how it is written? King, do we got him?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Go
ahead, Mickey. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, I'm grateful that anybody wants to know that it's still podcast, whether it's a blog writer, you know, whatever it takes to kind of, you know, get people to figure out and find out who you are, as long as it's documented. And, you know, these days I'm trying to buy old magazines that I was in, you know, so I can show my son when he gets a little older, you know what I mean? I'm just happy that I'm able to find a lot of these things. And nowadays, you know, it's different, you know, everything is online. Back in the day, you know, you have to actually purchase something to commit a little bit more to different people, you know.
Interacting with your fans, how's it been over the years of really getting to meet people, talk to them, inspiration for them? Because you're some years into this now, so you have your own history that you've carved out. What is it feel to know and meet the very listeners that you've inspired in that next generation?
Man, you know, it's just, I mean, I'm obviously not like a legend, like Ghostface Killah or like Jay-Z or anything like that, but I've contributed in my own way, you know, and I'm grateful that people, you know, look to me for certain things. You know, I think it's an incredible thing. I think everybody has their own story to tell. Everybody has their own journey, and I'm happy for my journey. I'm so grateful for my journey. You know, not a lot of people get a chance to experience, you know, hip-hop the way I've experienced it, you know. So I'm just really grateful for everything I was able to accomplish in such a short amount of time, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, when I went to China, bro, like, I mean, I went to Japan, too, like, but just to be able to say, yo, man, my talent was so good that it got me to China is insane to even think, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't know if people really realize that, you know what I mean? But I'm grateful. I'm so grateful.
When you think about that, Mickey, because so many artists come in and they have aspirations, but a lot of them don't get to achieve it in terms of it. And not because, you know, we're not talking ones that are just terrible. We're talking about the ones that are actually dope, but they don't always get that chance to really find their footing in it. And nowadays we have so many artists trying to get in to really make to really get in there. What advice do you have for upcoming artists? Because this is like the NBA and NFL. There's a lot that are gonna be, you know, in the sport, but only a few are going to make it to the pros in terms of big time notoriety, or at the very least be able to move in a fashion that they can make a good living with. You know, what would you have to say to those artists coming up and how to move in the game?
I would honestly say that a lot of it is, you know, you gotta work, man. Like, I don't know if a lot of people are willing to work, and they gotta focus on, you literally have to focus on, you know, your father and your family. And so it's not about trying to get his record. It's not about trying to, you know what I'm saying, do anything that, you know, looks to try to get mainstream or do crazy, you know, all kinds of crazy things. What it's really about is, you know, It's really literally about just working for your fans, working for people that love you, working for the supporters, who is going to be the person or the fans that will purchase every project, every shirt. It's focused on anything else, and it's pointless. At least work towards something else. Yeah.
Absolutely. Tell us about some of your biggest collaborations that you've had along the way in terms of people you've met in the business.
Oh, man. Definitely worked with Little Wayne, Gym Class Heroes, Drake, John Legend, Bruno Mars. I've done a lot, man. Luke Fiasco, all kind of different people. I'm grateful that I was able to kind of, get work with these people. Sy Ready Kid, Styles P, Ransom. I can be here naming people all day long. Race to 5'9", Faramond, Fonte, Elza, Sy the Prince. All of these people are people that I work with and have such a high respect for me. You know what I'm saying?
One Cody bro is like, man, can we at least get one EP with you and Lupe, please?
He don't do no features, so I don't know if that'll ever happen, but I would love to do a project with him, but I don't know if that's ever gonna happen.
When you look at the new generation today of artists coming in, who do you see is really that next wave of dope in terms of how they're moving?
I like Stove God Cooks. I like Corday.
Yeah.
I like those two artists a lot. I think they are doing. I like Lady London. I think Lady London is phenomenal. Those in that space are doing great things, and I'm grateful for them. I really am. My students that come to the school.
Man, look, you said Stove God. Shout out to Zelda, man. I mean, when I heard him on Red Jeff off of West Side Guns 10 joint, and that, he said VS dancing like Shawn Michaels. He said, that's what Stove like. I'm like, Stove God is, he's different. That dude is different.
Right. Yeah, no, Stove God is fire. Yeah,
these guys are basically becoming the core front of moving that needle again for the city, though.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I gotta say, I'm sorry, guys, I gotta say, what's going on? But I appreciate it.
Definitely, man. We definitely appreciate you.
Absolutely, man. We talked about a lot of good stuff, man. Make sure you guys sign up to PendulumLink.com if you want to be a better rapper. Follow me on Instagram, Mickey Facts, man. Highlight your boy.
Mickey, thank you again so much. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. Thank you for wrapping this up with us, man. I had to come do it with an exclusive.
Absolutely.
Got you.
Yeah,
thanks,
man.
Guys.
We definitely gonna keep in touch, man. We just followed you, man. So definitely follow us back, and we're gonna keep pushing the line for you.
Thank you, man. That's a beautiful situation. I love that. Thank you, guys. Peace.
Mickey, much
all
love.
Right,
stay with the method and keep kicking the facts as always, man. Keep doing it.
No doubt, man. On that note, we up out of here. Catch you tomorrow night. Same off the cup time, same off the cup channel.
Just peace. One.